Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Menachot Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph near the bottom of the Amud. About to take a look at most of Mishnah Dalad of the sixth Perek. Ktsaruhu unetanuhu bakupot. Now we've gotten the Omer cut. What's the next step? They would cut it and put it into the baskets. Eviyuhu la'azara, and they'd bring it to the Azara. And now, according to Rameir, Vayu Mahavavino Tobaur, they would take the stalks before threshing them, and they would already singe them in the fire, Kedei Lekayembo Mitzvat Kali, because the Torah talks about Kali V'Charmel. That means that Kalui Ba'esh Geres Karmel, therefore it has to be toasted, the Rameir. Chomorim B'Kanim V'Kolachot Chovtino To, no, they're the opposite. They would take sticks, and they would take some vegetables or something, and they would lightly, meaning they would hit it, but in a way that would not hurt it, kadesh lo yit ma'ech, so it wouldn't get ruined. In other words, they would thresh it first, but lightly, and then, this is still chachamim, netanuhu la'abuv, they put it into a canister, a metal canister, avuv hayam enukav, it had holes in it, kadesh ya'or sholeit v'l'chulo, and then they'd put it in the fire, and the fire would be able to get in to the grain that's inside this abuv. Shtachu ma'zara, then what would happen is because of the singeing, that would heat up this barley, it would also develop some moisture. So they would lay it out in the azara, varuach menashevet bo, and then the cool night wind would blow through it, and that would dry it out also and cool it. Now, in tanu l'rechaim shel grosot, they would put it into little hand mills that are used for beans, votziu mimenu isaron, and they would ultimately get one isaron out of these three se'in, after going through 13 siftings, the rest of the Omer, besides the Omer, the rest of the three Se'im, are redeemed, meaning somebody can pay and redeem it, and anybody can eat it, it's totally chulin. And then if you take that barley and you make a dough out of it, you have to separate chala. However, you are exempt from Maaser because its original collection was done under the aegis of Hektish. Rabbi Kiva Machayev B'chalav Maaserot, Rabbi Kiva disagrees and says it is also liable for Maaserot, and we will see why. Okay, we have two pieces to look at. First is the Machloket Rabbi Meir and Chachamim about in what order where the singeing comes in, and the second thing is the Machloket Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim about Maaserot. Tana Rabbanan, Aviv Ze Aviv. When the Torah says, Aviv Kalui Ba'esh Geres Karmel, Aviv means that it's the first thing to grow. Kalui ba'esh means melamed shel Yisrael mehavavino to ba'esh, meaning that they would toast it in the fire, kedei lekayem bo mitzvat kali. That's the fulfillment of the kali, of toasting. Divrei Rav Meir. Chachamim omrim, they disagree and say, ein ur lashon kali ela davar acher. To have it in the fire, that's not a kli unless it's in something else. That's how to read that sentence. It has got, must be inside of a different vessel in order to be called kali. So how does that play out? En lashon kali ela davar kalil, or it may be something that's light and open. Ha ketzad avuv shel klayot hayasham. So it's this canister that had the toasted corn in it. Vayam menukav kichvara, was open like a sieve. Kedei shteya'ur sholet pechulo, so the fire will work in. Now the pasuk says aviv kalui ba'esh geres karmel. Eni yodeim aviv kalui im geres kalui. This is sort of like a mikrasha in the lachreya. We don't know, without Tamei Mikra and some masoret, we don't know where to pause. So is it aviv, describing the grain, kalui, aviv kalui ba'esh geres, meaning you burn it when it's already flour, or aviv kalui ba'esh, and then geres karmel. Shuomer ba'esh yifsikanyan. The answer is that ba'esh really is sort of a breaker that's the end of the phrase. And so therefore, I first toast it before milling it. Now, milling it fine to flour. What does karmel mean? Rach umal. So the first drasha is that it's a play on words. Karmel, rach umal, meaning take the chaf and the resh of karmel, turn them inside out, and you get the word rach, which means soft. And mal is something which is malleable, something that you can easily manipulate with your fingers. It's soft. V'chein hu omer. So man brought some gifts to Elisha, and he gave it to the Bnei HaNeviim. And it's described as Carmel v'tziklono. So the word Carmel is another one of these Carmel. And then we're going to play on the word tziklono. What's that? Tziklono is yatzak lanu v'naveh, meaning he poured it for us, and we ate, and it was very good. Ve'omer, and now we have another play of a notarikon of this sort. Nit alsa be'ahavin, the seductor says to the young man in Mishlei Zayin, meaning nit alsa is nisa, then na'ale, there's the ayin and the lamed, then nismach, there's the samach, be'ahavinit chata, with a chet hey switch, be'ahavim. In other words, let's eat and drink, we'll go up and enjoy each other on the bed. V'omer, knaf rinanim alasa, again, nosei ola v'nitchate, and v'omer, ki yarata derech lenagdi, that strange word yarat, which the malach says to Bilam in explaining why the donkey moved to the side, meaning yirata ra'ata natata, Rashi quotes that in Chumash, she was afraid because she saw and she moved to the side. All right, so there's all of these notarikon that are brought along after playing with the word Carmel. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Tana says Carmel is no, Carmelay, which means that when it's in the husk, it's already fully ripe. Okay, let's get to the topic of Rabbi Akiva and Maasrot. I'm Rav Kahana. Omer haya Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva used to say, Meruach hekdesh eno poter. When, remember, meruach is that step in the process when you even out the grain in the granary, and that's when the obligation of Trumot Masrot kicks in. So Rabbi Akiva would say that if the hekdesh, meaning it's done under the aegis of hekdesh, while it's owned by hekdesh, that does not exempt it, it's still chayav in Masrot. That's Rav Kahana's take on why Rabbi Akiva said that when you redeem the rest of the three se'in, you have to take Masrot, because the fact that hekdesh did the meruach doesn't exempt it. Meiti Rav Sheshe, so he challenged Rav Kahana. Motar shol sin halalu ma yosin bo. Again, the rest of the Omer, what would they do? Nefdem nechalu chol adam. V'chayav v'chalav patumina masorot. We keep v'chayav v'chalav masorot, just like a Mishnah. But we have more. Amrulo, podem yad gizbar yochiach. They challenged Rav Akiva by saying, take a look at this. If you dedicate your wheat to the Mikdash, and it's while it's under the aegis of the Mikdash, they do meruach, they bring it into the granary, and then you redeem it, you're patur min amasrot. Shechayah b'chalav, patur min amasrot. Of course, shechayah b'chalav, because you then take it and mill it and turn it into to dough. But it's patur min amasrot. Now, that would only work as a challenge to Rabbi Akiva if Rabbi Akiva accepted that as a premise. V'im ita de meruach hekdesh no poter, ma'ika amrile, hi. What is it that they're challenging Rabbi Akiva? After all, they're challenging him with the same thing that he supposedly says is not chayav, is not poter, it's chayav. V'yos, that's one challenge to Rav Kahana's explanation. V'od etiver Rav Kahana bar tachlifa la Rav Kahana. Our Rav Kahana was challenged by another Rav Kahana. Rabbi Akiva mechayev b'chalav masrot, l'fi shenolon numa'ot ela l'tzorech lahen. He explicitly said his reason, and it's not because meruach hekdesh doesn't do it, it's because when the barley was bought, it was really only bought for the one isaron that they were going to get out of it. And therefore, the rest of it was really never hektish. We just had to clarify, it's sort of a Breyer problem, to clarify which isaron was the isaron of the Omer. Ela Amar Rav Yochanan, Talmud Aruch, who befiv shel Rabbi Akiva, he explicitly said, Shaloni nu ma'ot el tzorech lahen, which means that Rabbi Akiva agrees that meruach hektish is poter, except in this case it's not, because it was never really intended to be part of hektish. Unlike when you sanctify something and then later you redeem it, while it was sanctified, it was fully in the reshut of hektish. Okay, Amar Rava. So Rava now takes this piece and builds an entire structure on it. Pshita li meruach hektish poter. So it's obvious that meruach hektish exempts from masrot. The only reason Rabbi Akiva exempts, finds it obligatory to take masrot in our case is because of this unique halacha, or the unique circumstance, that the money was only spent for the ultimate isaron that they got out of it and not the rest. Rabbi Akiva would say, if hektesh does the meruach, then it is patur. Meruach hagoy. What if a non-Jew does meruach? Tanoihi, it's a machloka tanaim. The Tanya, Tormin Mishel Yisrael Al She Yisrael, you could take Truma from the property of one Yisrael to cover that of another Yisrael. When we shall goy al shogoy, or if a non-Jew and a non-Jew, we shall kutim al shokutim, or from one kuti to cover that of another kuti. When we shall call al shall call, divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda say, any of that mix can take for any of that mix. So a kuti for Yisrael, a Yisrael for Obed Kochavim, any of those will work. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Tomim Mishal Yisrael, Shal Yisrael, that will work. Mishal Avdei Kochavim, Mishal Kutim, 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 Mishal Avdei Kochavim. The other two groups will work. Aval Lo Mishal Yisrael, Shal Avdei Kochavim, Mishal Kutim, Lo Mishal Goyim, Mishal Kutim, Mishal Yisrael. However, Yisrael cannot be taken for that of the Kutim or Goyim, or vice versa. And the reason seems to be because Meruach Hagoy, according to them, is Poter, and therefore it is only Chayav de Rabbanan, as opposed to Meruach Yisrael, which is fully Mechayev, and therefore is Chayav de Oraita. Okay, so Rava says, fine, Meruach Hekdesh is Poter. Meruach Hagoy is a Machloket. Gilgul Hekdesh Poter. Gilgul is when you make dough. And this is as far as Chala goes, did not. Hikdishi Satad Shalom Gilgul Avdata Chayev, it's Mishnah and Chala. It says that if a woman is Makdish her dough before she needs it, Uftaata, and then redeems it before she goes any further. She is makdish it, and immediately redeems it. Chayavet, it's chayav and chala, because when she needs it, it's now back in her reshut. Misha gilgal uftaata, or if she did all of that after she needed it, chayavet, it was already chayav. Hikdisha ad shelo gilgalav, gilgalah hagizbar, but if she was makdish it before gilgul, and then it was mitgalgel, in under the aegis of the mikdash, and then she redeemed it, ptura. Why? When it became chayav, it was in reshut of Hekdesh and his patur. So three out of these four pieces, Rava says, are very clear. Meruah Hekdesh poter. Gilgul Hekdesh poter. So anytime Hekdesh has ownership at the point of chiyuv, it's patur. Meruah Hagoy machloket. Now the question is going to be the fourth poll. Boy, Rava, Gilgul Hagoy mai. What if a non-Jew does the kneading of a dough? And this is all of grains that are themselves chayav, is there going to be a chiyuv chala? So the question is really as follows. Meet natnan, we have the following. Gershin gayer aitalo isa nase ad shalot gayer patur mishn gayer chayav. Safek chayav. If a convert had some dough, if the dough was made before he converted, then clearly it's patur from chala. If it was made after he converted, clues chayav, and besafek chayav. Now, hamang tani da. The real question is, who's the author of this brayta? Divrei hakolhi, is it everyone, meaning Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon? Fil Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, dekamachavi hatam patrihacha. So do we think that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who in the case of Meruach say it does not exempt, Meruach Agoy, say it does not exempt? But here they would say it does exempt, and we'll see why they might distinguish. Because hatam hurichtiv degancha yetera. In the case of Ma'asrot, the Torah says reshit degancha, the beginning of your corn, and it says it twice, and degancha is a miut, and it's a miut achar miut. So the miut achar miut, and miut achar miut el rabot, which means it's actually there counterintuitively to extend. Only your dagan, and then only your dagan turns inside out and extends ela afilu goy. Aval hacha, but in the case of chala, we don't have two extra words that are a limit. Rather, we have, trezim ni arisotechem, it says arisotechem, your dough. Chad arisotechem kede isatchem, one of them is just to tell you what the shear is. The other one is to limit and said only yours and not that owned by a goy and not that owned by Hekdesh. Right? Which means that Rameir Rav Yehuda would say, that even though in the case of Ma'asrot, we say that a non-Jew's participation does not exempt it, but in the case of Chala it does because we don't have the same psukim. Odim Rav Yosef B'Shimon K'tanidah, perhaps the brayta that we just saw about the ger is only authored by Rav Yosef B'Shimon. To Kapatri, because they exempt also in the case of Meruach. Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, Gamri Reshit Mehatam. Perhaps Ramei Rabbi Yehuda say, Chala is treated the same as Masrot because they're both called Reshit. So what's the solution? So Amar Rava, after Rava posed it, he said, Yehei Rava de Echse Bechelma. He said, Yehiratzon, I should have a dream, and in the dream, it should reveal to me what the answer is. Hadar Amar Rava, we don't know if he had the dream or he just turned around and came to the solution. Mandam Amaruach of Dekochavim Poter, Gilgul Agoy Poter. He says the positions simply are consistent, which means that if you are of the opinion, like Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, that meruach of a goy does not exempt it, then gilgul of a goy doesn't exempt it, and the last brighter that we saw is only offered by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Eight of our popular Rava. Rava is going to be challenged on this. First of all, Oved Kochav Shifrish Petach Hamor V'Chalah. It's a very strange piece about Petach Hamor. The Mishonim are divided about what actually happened. But if a non-Jew took, let's take one particular direction of Mishonim, which is he separated his firstborn donkey and wanted to donate it. And V'Chalah. That's the main part we care about. Modi'im Oto Shehu Patur. We tell him that you're exempt. V'Chalaton Echalot L'Zarim. The way he separated his challah could be eaten by anybody. Non-Kohanim. And this Petach Hamor, whether it was a lamb or whether it was the donkey itself, you could cut its hair, you could shear it, you could use it to work, has no kedusha whatsoever. Now what's the implication? Ha trumato asura. The implication is that if he takes truma, that is asur. Meaning we only picked on those things where a non-Jew would want to donate something which would have some kedusha to it, we tell him it doesn't. But truma would. So this must be the Tana who holds that meruach of a non-Jew does not exempt, which is why Truma is not listed here, because it really is chayav. And nonetheless, his chala isn't chayav. Now Ravina turns to Rava and says, if a non-Jew takes chala, even in Eretz Yisrael, or takes Truma in Chutz La'aretz, we tell him it's nothing. Chalato nechal zarim, his chala could be eaten by non-kohanim, utrumato enam edamat, and if his truma falls into something else, doesn't infect it at all, it's not truma, nothing. What's the implication? Why do you pick truma in chutz laretz? Ha trumato ba'aretz asura medamat, implying that truma in Eretz Yisrael really is asur, and it's medamea. Vai hai tana damar mirach hagoy eno poter, avde kochavim poter. So you see that this is the opinion that says that meruach hagoy eno poter, that's from Rabbi Yehuda, still says that if they make challah, it is patur. So now we turn around and say it's midrabanan, meaning that the opinion of Rabbi Meir Yehuda back in the piece about the Alshe Yisrael, Alshe Goyim, etc., is midrabanan, meaning really meruach hagoy is poter. Anytime the goy is involved, it's patur. Their positions are consistent, but they made a gzerah, which Rabbi Yosef and Shimon disagreed with, and did not accept that gzerah, that we have to make their meruach not exempt, gzerah mishum ba'alei kisim. And again, the Rishonim are quite divided on what ba'alei kisim here means. We'll take one of the versions of Rashi where he says wealthy people might hire a non-Jew to do their meruach in order to exempt it from masrot. So the gzerah was it won't work, which means now Rava's building is much simpler, which is any time that a non-Jew or conversely hektesh has ownership of or is involved in the process of meruach or gilgul or any of the things that are going to generate chiyuv, it is patur. But Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda said in the case of meruach, we're going to put a gzerah into Rabbanan that it should still be chayav to make sure people don't take advantage of the system. But the problem is that nihachi afilu chalanami, that challah should be the same, where we should also be concerned about taking advantage of the system. The answer is efshar afil apachot mechamesh ravaim kemach viod. The answer is that there's no reason to do that, because if somebody wants to take advantage of the system, he has a very simple solution, which is to just simply make too small of a dough for the chiyuv. And therefore, you would not have to hire somebody, a non-Jew, to mix your dough. Just make a small dough. So truma nami afshar avi laka rabbi shaya. Truma, there's also a trick. You don't need to go to a non-Jew and have him do your meruach. There's a trick, which is Rabbi Shaya's famous thing. Marim adam al tvuatom achisab motshala. You could play a trick and bring your produce into the house while still in the husk, so that hinesh dei b'am to chelav tu amine maser. Now, by the way, he's saying that this as a lachatchila, because this is about feeding your animals. But in fact, if you were to do this and when the grains came into the house, the husks were still on them, which means they never were roe pnei habayit, they would never be chayav masrot even for human consumption. But that's wrong. Inami da'ayla derech agod v'derech kapifot. The other possibility is to bring the tefuah into your house via skylight or back way, because it's only chayav, it's roe pnei habayit, which means there are tricks. So we go back and say, why would Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda say we're going to make a gzeirah to to make Meruach HaGoy Chayav de Rabbanan, because we're afraid people are going to take advantage of that and use that as a trick to get out of Masrot. There's other ways to get out of Masrot. The answer is very simply, it's about social opprobrium. Hatam Farhesia Zila Be Milta. To bring your tefuah into the house in that way so that people can see it. No, people are embarrassed to try to play tricks like that in a public way, so they're not going to do it. Hacha Betzina Lo Zila Be Milta. But to make dough, which is too small, nobody's going to see it. So if I really want to get out of making challah, all I have to do is make this small dough, and I'm good to go. On the other hand, if I want to get out of Masrot, I would have to do something publicly, so I may indeed have a goy do my meruach, and that's why they put the gzerah in. Okay, we will pick it up with the rest of Mishnah Dalet, the beginning of Mishnah Hey, in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.